Chapter 3. The Tragedy of Dooley Harbour. Before I was old enough to understand it, my mum's family had already been marked by tragedy. The name at the heart of it was Dooley Harbour. This was not one of those family stories told lightly or turned into a dramatic tale for effect. It was the kind of story people carried carefully, because it still hurt even years later. Some griefs do not fade into background history. They remain active beneath ordinary life, as if a family learns to go on while keeping one hand on an old wound. Dooley Harbour died in a tragic accident after sliding down a banister. The bare fact is stark enough, but facts never hold the whole feeling of something like that. The children all used to play together in the stair, sliding down the banister as children do. One of those ordinary bits of childhood life so common nobody would stop to imagine disaster inside it. Then Dooley Harbour fell awkwardly and the consequences were devastating. What made it even harder was that there was no one to blame. It was an accident. It could have happened to anybody. Nobody was at fault. It was simply one of those unbearable turns by which an ordinary moment becomes something a family and a street never forget. My sister remembered more of it than I did, of course. She remembered Dooley Harbour being taken away in an ambulance with a red blanket. That image stayed in the family. A child taken away under red. The sort of image that fixes itself in memory and never really loosens its grip. I did not witness it in the way older family members did, but I grew up inside its echo. That is often how inherited sorrow works. You do not remember the event itself, but you remember the tenderness around the people who survived it. You remember the pauses. You remember adults going slightly quiet in a way children notice instantly. Everyone gathered round Jimmy Harbour and Nancy Harbour and the rest of the family in whatever way they could, because the grief was felt not only by the immediate family, but by friends, neighbours, and the wider local community too. That says something important about the world my mum came from. It was not grief held in private behind one closed door. It rippled through a whole local fabric of people who knew one another and cared. For Jimmy Harbour especially, it was deeply damaging. He was a good joiner and a hard worker. But after what happened, he struggled badly with depression. That is part of the family understanding too. You get the sense that although he had once been the lighter, more harum-scarum one growing up, this event brought a weight into his life that was very hard to carry. It did not simply pass. It stayed with him. People can continue, work, move, laugh again even, but there are losses that split a life into before and after and never fully close. Eddie Harbour and Faye Harbour later emigrated to Toronto. Jimmy Harbour and Nancy Harbour followed later with the remaining children. Life widened out geographically, but grief travelled with it. As a boy, I did not possess the language to explain any of this. I only knew that certain family stories carried more weight than others. Some could be told around a table with laughter, interrupting the details. Others were told more slowly, with care, as if the people speaking were not only remembering, but stepping over fragile ground. The story of Dooley Harbour belongs near the beginning of my memoir, because it belongs near the beginning of the family atmosphere I inherited. Love in our family was deep, partly because loss had already proved how breakable everything was. Adults who have known that kind of grief often become more protective, more attached, more intensely present, even when they are trying not to show it. I think some of that reached me before I had any conscious understanding of why. It also taught me later that childhood is never only innocence. Even in a warm house, even in a close family, there are older sorrows under the floorboards. A child may not know their full names, but he can sense their presence. Dooley Harbour's story was one of those presences.